Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high. Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted.
King of all the ages. You're the King of all the ages. You're the author of salvation. You're the reason why we're singing for your glory. Lord, release the sound of heaven. Let it rise in every nation. We will join the anthem singing.
KKXX listeners, good morning and welcome to Christ Today. In the studio today, I have Corey and Ed, and they are from Grace Community. And hello, gentlemen.
Good morning. Hi, Curtis.
How are you guys doing? And why don't you guys start off with whoever wants to take the mic and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let me go for it.
Go for it. Okay. My name is Ed Kryzak, and again, I attend Grace Community Church. I'm currently a Missional Communities Associate there at Grace. I've been on since about June, and a recent seminary graduate back in May of this year, and just super blessed to have met you, Curtis, and really excited to be on.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Corey?
My name is Corey Trento. I am also a member at Grace Community Church. I am a disciple of Christ, and I've had the pleasure of serving him through many areas of ministry, and one in particular that I'm very honored to do, and that is to be an elder. I also am serving on the ministry of missional communities, enjoying what that it brings through the challenges and just the excitement that comes from seeing people come to a knowledge of Jesus. And so again, as Ed has mentioned, I'm just excited to share what God is doing and to really share what my testimony is this morning.
Do one of you guys want to share how you came to the Lord or how you became a Christian and where you are now?
I'll just keep going on that thought. So my testimony is, I grew up knowing the Lord, went to Bible studies, went to youth groups, went to youth camps, and at an early age began to learn what it meant to love Jesus and to be loved by people and to just experience that truth in practical ways. And as I grew up, I struggled connecting with people, being real with people, and accepting people's how people accepted me. I was challenged with that. But as I grew in understanding what it meant to live out my faith, I began to just be transformed from the inside. And what I mean by that is, growing up, I really didn't have a father figure, and that created a wound in me. It's hard to explain it unless you kind of know what I'm talking about, but just as a father, I'm reminded of God when Jesus, after he was baptized, he just looked down at Jesus and said, this is my son whom I love and who I approve of. And I think growing up as a young man, I longed for that. I longed for that mentor or father figure to look into my life and just affirm me. And back to growing up and having that desire, I really began to get that from mentors that were investing in my life. And particularly some men at Grace that, when I initially started going there, invested in me and began to encourage me and give me a sense of identity, you know. And I guess, you know, just kind of fast forward to, you know, the last several years, I've just been having an opportunity to invest that in other men's lives, especially in my, I have three young boys. And so it's just been a great journey, and I'm so thankful for it.
Ed, you want to say anything about your testimony?
Cool, absolutely. Yes, so I'm a lot like Corey. I grew up in the church at a young age. I was going to youth group, like a lot of kids. I was a missionary in Mexico. You know, I was doing these things, and then I hit a wall at about age 15, a pretty common time for kids to just bail out of the church, and that's exactly what I did. And literally up until 2012, precisely Easter of 2012, I was in the wilderness. I was just living for me, and just staying the focus there until we get to Easter 2012. I just wanted to, my entire testimony is wrapped up in me. It was the kingdom of me in so many ways. I'm a husband. I'm a father of two kids. But in the end, I was constantly seeking approval for things, for everything that you could imagine. I mean, I would just be constantly looking for new ways to get approval from people, through accomplishment, through, you know, tasks, through anything that I could think of that would somehow give me that sense of approval. And in the end, on Easter 2012 is where God recaptured my heart and where I actually recognize where my true approval comes from, and that's in Him and Him alone. And on that day, on that Easter, it's an interesting story. My family and I were looking for a place to go to church, and our whole thinking, my wife was raised Catholic, and but very much you know, a Catholic who would say go on Christmas or Easter. There wasn't a lot of practice in her family life. There was just more a recognition that God is real. But we both in our hearts were being tugged by God. It seemed like that we at least wanted to give our kids some exposure to who God was. And that was as far as we could think about it at that moment. Mm-hmm. And we were looking for a place to go. And for whatever reason, God, at the time, I didn't realize it, but it was certainly God putting it on our heart that we should come to Grace, and what an appropriate day. Let's do it on Easter, right? And so we went there. We went there thinking, you know, we're just going to go, and we're going to find a church, and this is going to be great, and we'll start doing it on Sundays as a family, and we'll feel good about ourselves. I mean, that's really about as far as I think we were thinking at that moment. And I'm telling you, it was nothing short of God just absolutely clobbering us with His love. My daughter and my wife were just pouring with tears during the service, and I looked at them, and it was like they couldn't even explain to you what was happening. But having been raised in the church the way that I was early on in my life, I knew exactly what was happening. These were people who were recognizing God and His love and His grace, and just feeling His presence very close at that moment. And I think at that point, we were all captured. We were all captured. And ever since then, it has been an absolute journey, an on-fire journey toward Him and His desires for us.
So basically what God did for you, Ed, is He captivated your heart at a point where you didn't expect to be captivated.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. And Corey, you really didn't need captivation because you were pretty strong in your walk with the Lord, and you didn't veer off too much. You kind of knew from the get-go, it seems like, that you knew where He was headed and where He was going. So what you want to say something to that?
We've got a short time, yeah. So my testimony, I left out some details, but I had my own struggles. You know, I walked away from the Lord. I joined the military, and that journey brought me to you know, seeking the world. You know, in that environment, it was very hard for me to find, you know, a foundation and something to hold on to. I was wandering, but a great story. Ed's story is fantastic. My story that kind of veered me back in line with God's story is after I met my wife in the military, and when we had our first son, Trevor, we were in the hospital, and when my wife was able to hold him in her arms, she looked at me and said, there's got to be a God. And that was our turning point. From that point forward, we decided to kind of realign our lives and really make God the focus of our efforts, of our desires, and ultimately our resting place. So yeah, it was a great journey, but that was really, I guess, the turning point and the realignment of my life. And it's been growing ever since.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. So when I met you guys at a Bible study that you guys are doing. One of the things that you guys told me specifically was that you guys called it brother to brother. Mm-hmm. And it was a missional, if I'm not mistaken, missional communal type of church. Mm-hmm. So let's get into that. Who wants to talk about that?
Yeah. Corey, why don't you take the missional community piece, just talk about that, and then we'll talk about how it flows out into brother to brother.
Okay. So missional communities is really outlined in kind of three general areas of what makes up the components of missional community, and that is, one, that there is an identity component, that we are all children of God, and in our identities, there are some truths that define who we are. And on this journey called life, we are in constant transformation, what the Bible calls sanctification, of what it means to die to ourselves and be made new, be resurrected in the new image of Christ daily. And so in a missional community, we are identifying ourselves daily, what it means to be Christ, and personally, how does that unfold into our identity and living what it means to be Christ in our workplaces, in our homes, in the community, wherever we go. The second component is being servants. And what that means is we all have a component of our lives where we've got gifts, we've got opportunities, talents, we've got time. And in serving God, we have opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And really be what the gospel means, sharing the good news, that if God has really transformed us, then there's something that's going to come out of that response, and that is the serving. And then
you got that, so true.
Yeah. And then the third component is we're messengers, that in all that we do, we have, and we're image bearers. And wherever we go, people are looking at us, wondering who it is, this person that is walking around talking about this person that they're serving and the joy in their step. And I think there is a component to missional communities that is that we are messengers of the gospel, that we have been given this tremendous love from God, and it's transforming us. And that that response that comes out of that, along with serving, is that we, with our voices, with our words, with our actions, are sharing that message.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think
you got it. Yeah, no, you got it. It's good, brother. I would add to just from a higher level view of our missional communities and what they're about. Firstly, I'll say from Grace Community Church's standpoint, what we used to be is a church with small groups, and now we're very much transforming into a church of small groups.
And expand on that a little.
Yeah,
bit.
Sure. It's a huge change from the traditional outlook of the church that says, the campus is the most important place and being there on Sunday is what matters. And what that does is that sort of feeds the consumeristic American culture, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's been the fault of the Christian church for some time, is that we believe that, it's come and be fed and hope you make it till the next Sunday, that you've skimmed off just enough to make it.
Or check the box.
Yeah, or check the, right, or check the box.
And, that seems to be the truth, you guys.
Yeah. And so, what we're changing now into is something more like the Acts 2 church, and that's really our focus. And if you look at Acts 2, 42 through 47, this is the church. This is the church. It had no four walls. The four walls were people's houses, right? The church exploded, early on because of the movement of the gospel by the people. It wasn't because the church, the four walls, the campus, the citadel, whatever you want to look at it as, was moving the gospel. And that's not to say that the church is, because I think the corporate church today is wonderful, and I love it, and I love Grace Community Church, and I think it it brings a lot of strength to expanding God's kingdom. But it's these missional communities or this idea that a church done outside of Sunday, what are you doing every other day other than Sunday, is what I believe is going to expand God's kingdom the way it was meant to be.
I'd like to add something to that if I can. Christ doesn't want to just be known in us on Sundays. He wants to be known in us every day of the week. And if he's our life, we're going to be doing something, maybe not necessarily ourselves, but something's going to be happening in us every day that's going to be drawing people to him. And I think what the church has done, and this church has said, when you're ready to be used, we'll let you know. When you're ready to be what God wants you to be, when you've reached the point where you can be used, we'll let you know. God's like, when you're just in me and you're just trusting in me, resting in me, relaxing in me, and you are who you are in me, I'll use you whenever I choose to, however I choose to. Just allow me to do that. And I see that you guys as the church, like we talked about before we came in here, we're each a church. We're each a life that God wants to not use but wants to be with. And through his being with us and an intimacy with him, then the usage of our lives becomes, we become available and that can be done. So how is it that you guys are, go a little bit more into it, Corey, if I can ask you, as to how you see yourself varying or branching off to be the church that God has called you guys to be versus what you grew up in or versus what you've known as a church?
Okay. Yeah, I think, back to just kind of finish what Ed was saying and then jump right into what you're asking, Curtis, and that is, the church, I think, is more or less, as I was growing up and kind of how I saw church, was it was a component of my life. You know, that I had, school and I had my family. I mean, as I've grown up, those pies, I mean, if we think of life as a pie, you know, that our tendency is to compartmentalize what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We have our church slice, we have, our serving slice, and I think what we've tried to do at Grace is to redefine what it means to live it out and to put God at the center and have everything that we're compartmentalizing be something that is embedded into the essence of what it is we're doing. And so, I think in a missional community, we have opportunity to do that. You know, that in missional community, we are much more agile, we're much more unique. We have, parts of our missional community where in the greater context of church, it doesn't really fit. But in the smaller context of, 10 to 20 people, you're able to accomplish a lot more specific things given the needs of the missional community. And so I think even serving, when a need comes up, it's much easier to serve that body of people that you're meeting with once a week. We meet 3 to 4 times a week, don't we?
Exactly.
And so I think when you think about needs and how you can serve the body, the missional community just becomes much more functional in the way that it's designed rather than and a global scale, looking at church and trying to plug people in and what are our needs and how do we recruit and who's gifted, who's not. I think those questions get answered more in the aspect of missional communities.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's well said, Corey. I agree with everything you said. And I want to add, too, that what we're finding within the postmodern America, the church is having to respond differently to the way we reach people. People are more likely to be drawn to community and relationship rather than coming to a church campus. You're much more likely to go to your neighbor and say, hey, we're doing a gathering at our house. You want to come over and just hang out rather than, hey, I'm going to take you on Sunday. And I think people are just afraid of that, but they're not afraid of relationship.
That's where it all starts is with relationship, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Relationship's a big piece.
And I don't know if you guys know who Paul Young-Hee Cho is, but he said that one of the biggest churches, and he has one of the biggest churches from Korea, if I'm not mistaken, and it started with home groups. Corey, tell us a little bit about what got you into wanting to be a part of developing the home group church that you guys are doing.
Well, my story is I was a quote-unquote small group leader, and I was becoming frustrated with the discouragement of leadership, and that is when you try and become the instrument of change, or you try and be the person who is causing people to come to a realization that you see yourself, and the pressures that come with leadership. And I was trying to be the boss of my of my group. I don't know how to say that any better, but I was trying to be God, and I was failing at it, and I was questioning my leadership. And so in that standpoint, I had to kind of step away and reassess what it means to really be a follower of Jesus and to know that, you know, God's the one who's going to reap the harvest. You know, I just got to be faithful in sowing and being diligent and obedient to where God is leading me. And so I think in missional community, I've had opportunity to kind of redefine and refocus, you know, my heart on what it means to allow God to truly be the boss and not myself.
Isn't it great when you learn that God's in control and not you?
There's a freedom.
Yeah,
freedom. There's a tremendous amount of freedom that comes in knowing that God is sovereign. You know, God is powerful. God is able to do far more than I could on my own. And that's what we found. I mean, we've got story after story in our MC where God has just aligned himself. When our faith reaches, you know, and God shows up, we just look back head and eye and say, you know what? There's no other answer but God.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, Ed, go into maybe telling us a little bit about what you view about the home church.
It really makes sense for me to just kind of do what Corey did too and talk about how it was led into it. For me, I had no idea what a missional community was at all. And even the phrase small group wouldn't have totally resonated with me at the time. But my really good friend, Pastor Brian Myers, who's a pastor at our church, he befriended me and he took me in discipleship when I was first reawakening reestablishing my relationship with Jesus. And I'll never forget when I met with him at a Starbucks and he said to me, you know, what is it you're looking for? And I told him, I need relationship with men who know Jesus because I absolutely know I cannot grow on my own. And it was like instinctively I just knew that without relationship, without other men in my life who are following after Jesus, there is just no way I'm going to grow. And so he said, well, I've got this great thing for you. And it turned out to be missional communities. And he brought me into his. And it was just from there, it just resonated with me and my family. And we immediately recognized, yeah, this is the way it was meant to be, in relationship with people all tracking toward Jesus and just giving our lives over to him, surrendering to him through relationship and making ourselves second to others.
Wasn't that what we're called to do, to be, let God be first and us be second?
Indeed.
And you mentioned to me that you're going to be a pastor. Are you going to be a pastor like one that stands up on the pulpit? Are you going to be a pastor of a home church? What exactly do you see God doing with you in the area of pastoral?
Yeah, thanks for that question. Actually,
I'm talking to Ed, by the way, folks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who knows what God has planned?
Who knows what Corey's capable?
Neither one.
Yeah. No, for me, I did go to seminary with the intention to eventually be a pastor. Right now, I hold an associate's title at Grace, and I hope that someday Grace will lay hands on me and anoint me as a pastor. But quite frankly, that's just a title. I'm already doing the work. Mm-hmm. I believe in my heart God has called me to do this work. And you know what? I've told Corey that Corey knows. I tell Corey everything. I'm like, you know, if this is what God has for me and this is all I ever do with the rest of my life and what I'm doing right now, I'm totally content. And I know I'm being used the way God was intended me to be used. What I went to school for is actually pastoral counseling. That's where my heart and my passion is. I carry an undergrad degree in psychology. Interesting how that came about, how those two things connected. But nonetheless, I think God was lining all that up for me to work in the counseling arena. And so far, that makes up about one-third of my work at Grace, but it actually probably is more like two-thirds these days. There's a lot of need, and I feel very impactful in that area. And so what I hope, my heart's desire is, of course, that God will allow me to do that full-time, vocationally, working in pastoral counseling ministries. And also, of course, in discipleship, which is another deep passion of mine.
You guys know who Pastor Gaylord Inns is?
I do. Mm-hmm. I've met Pastor Gaylord a few times.
He preached on love and returning to the lost commandment, which was love. And a lot of pastors, excuse me, folks, if I'm wrong, but sometimes you look at a pastor and you don't think they have much love, or you don't think that they really understand where you're coming from. I'm going to direct this question to Corey. Do you feel that you have the love coming from you that God has placed in you for to do this ministry, or is it, you know, you see what I'm saying, where I'm coming from? Because I'm having a hard time trying to get the question out.
No.
But it takes love to reach people. Do you feel that you have the love coming from God, or is it the love that, explain, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time, folks.
No, that's okay. Yeah, I think that, you know, and as you said that, a verse popped in my head, and it was Jesus' words to his disciples. He said, you know, all men will know that you're my disciples by how you love one another. Mm. And I think, you know, when it comes to reaching the lost, you have to have a desire for the lost. You have to have a desire, just like Jesus had a desire for the lost. He wasn't hanging around with the Pharisees. You know, he was doing ministry with the people who were seeking a Savior. You know, and so I think when you know, to answer your question, when I think of the word love, I don't have the capacity to love within my own strength. I need to, like you said, rely upon the Spirit's granting of God-like love. And, you know, people have said it before, no, God goggles, you know, to be able to see people in such like
a... That's a good one, Corey. You know, I've not heard
really
that
good
one.
God glasses, God goggles.
God
like
goggles,
that.
Yeah. But just to be able to... And it goes back to identity. You know, if you really have a strong sense of identity and how God sees you, you're going to have a much greater ability to actually see people as God sees them, not as, you know, broken or black, white, you know, what have you, but you'll really see them as a cherished being created in the image of God.
That is so true. You know, last week when I was sitting at your guys' study, and we're not going to name the place, but I was sitting at your guys' study, and you mentioned identity, and, you know, identity comes from one person only. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from a pastor. It doesn't come from anybody in leadership. It comes from God. And Corey, I'm going to redirect a question back to you. Mm-hmm. You said that you grew up without something that you wish you would have had, and God has taught you about what you didn't have and how you can use now what you didn't have in ministering to people. You want to go into that a little bit and share a little bit of that as part of your testimony for the audience?
Yeah. So like I had shared with you earlier, Curtis, I think, you know, if we could break down people in two ways, I think there's people who are raised in a family where they have a model that is a positive model, and they have, you know, the other group of people obviously are the young boys and girls who are raised without a healthy model. And there's obviously variations in between that, those two spectrums, but I think in general you could say that for everybody. And for me, I was one who didn't have a healthy model. And so growing up, I struggled what it means to have a sense of affirmation in my life. Someone who was looking into my life and really steering me and saying, you know what, Corey, you're good at that. Or, you know what, Corey, when you do that, you come alive. And to really have, you know, someone, you know, it's been said, you know, parents have the opportunity to kind of pull back that bow and shoot that arrow, and really the direction that arrow goes is in effort, in essence, from what the parents invested in the child. And so I wandered, you know, after, you know, becoming 18 and kind of searching. And like I said, I joined the military, and I was lost. I was wandering. And, you know, I came back to the Lord, went back, joined church and mentors. I began to find myself, my identity in how people were speaking to my life and the things I was learning in the Bible and living out certain aspects of trusting in God and seeing God work in those areas and being challenged and dying to pieces, you know, dying to my old self, dying to what I thought who I was. And, you know, now I think one of the easiest things I can relate to now is being a father and knowing what investment that is causing in my three boys' life, the partnership I have with my wife, and that investment that I'm giving them in hopes that they can then leave that as their legacy with their kids. And I think that's one of the blessings that God gives us as parents, is that we have this opportunity to experience what it means to be a father and to love at such a capacity as God loves us, and for us to kind of show that love in a kind of mirror aspect to our kids.
You want to expand on that, Ed?
I don't know how I could. Good job, Corey. Yeah, go ahead, Curtis.
What else would you like to say to the audience about you know, being a pastor, because I'll say this, pastors are like fathers, or should be like fathers. Mm-hmm. The church is like the body. So how do you see your guys, how do you see yourself ministering to the body as Christ would minister to you? You know, because the Bible says to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. So how would you see yourself as a minister ministering to the body today? You know, go talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that comes to mind, we're reading this book called Prodigal God. Tim Keller wrote it.
That's a good book.
Yeah,
I read it.
It's a great book. For a few of us, this is a second or third time around. It's a fantastic book. But one of the great things Tim Keller said, one of the huge takeaways I read from him was, you know, to have the prerequisite of grace is knowing that you need it. And you know, I think that some people hear the word grace and maybe even in their head know what it means, but do they know in their heart what it means? And I'm a person who is absolutely heaped upon by grace. I mean, it just, grace is just constantly poured out in my life. And when I think about where I've come, God has just all along been showing me grace even when I didn't realize it. And now that I understand the prerequisite, now that I get grace, it's the place that I come from in terms of reaching people. It's with grace. It's meeting people where they're at, not where you want them to be.
I agree with that.
And so what I want my ministry to be, anything, you know, if it be counsel, be it discipleship, be it whatever, be it sweeping the floors, I want people to understand that I have grace and they have grace, and it doesn't matter where you're at in life. Where God wants you where you're at, and He's ready to capture you just like He did me. And really, His love is abounding, and it's constantly showing up in my life in new ways. And I want to express that to the people that I minister to, that God loves you, He cares for you, He does want you healed. But He's not concerned about you cleaning yourself up first and then coming to Him. He's there to do the cleaning.
I agree with that. Well, you guys are going to be back in just a moment. I need to take a break. All right, listeners, welcome to KKXX Christ Today, live on the air with Corey and Ed from Grace Community Church. Anyways, if you guys are out there and you're being blessed and touched by this program, feel free to call the station and let me know. My number is 894-7325. Actually, that's the station's number. And my number is 332-0826. And, you know, we're here every week to encourage you, inform you of the good news of God. Actually, not the good news, the great news of grace and God. And also to lift up Christ. He said, if He be lifted up, He draw all men unto Him. And I believe we've got two guys in the studio today that are lifting up God. And they're lifting up God because they recognize their need for Him. They recognize His love for them. And so they're being used of the Lord. And if you guys want to call in and you guys want to let me know what you think about the show, that would be more than awesome. I'd love to hear what you guys think about the show. All righty. Okay, we are back now with our guest in the studio. So either one of you have anything else that you are wanting to say? I know you was over there reading, Corey. Is there something that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, I think as you walk with the Lord, you have this greater sense of the Spirit moving in your life. And when you hear someone sharing a testimony, or as Ed was mentioning about grace, I was drawn to James chapter 4. I was actually just meeting with my son on Thursdays.
I read that last night.
Yeah, we meet on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and this morning we were reading out of James 4, and it was exactly what Ed was saying, but in James 4, 6, it says, but He gives more grace, and it goes on to say that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble, and then it challenges us in the next verse, verse 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And I just think that's just such a great verse to memorize, to trust in, and to really seek that attitude of humility, and to never become so proud in your ministry, or so proud in what you think defines you, because you'll quickly find that God will break down those walls of pride, and you'll soon be eating a slice of humble pie. So
yeah. I'm eating that pie all the time.
And there is such a thing as humility, and then there's false humility. And I think I'm going to let both of you, I'm going to let Corey talk about pride, and I'm going to let Ed, it seems like you might be able to hit on the word false humility, and both of those, you both give a definition on both those words and what that means to you.
So humility, I don't know, I guess it's just recognizing, I think, back to our identity. I mean, that God is God and we are not. And I think in that, in its purest sense, humility is this understanding that that God is sovereign, God's in control, and that there is this in the humility. There is this. I'm thinking of a servant, you know, that there's a desire to revere God, to have a fear of God in such a way that we honor Him, and that our life is just a walking testimony of what that looks like. You know, that, you know, in random of Proverbs, you know, that you know, the beginning of understanding is a fear of the Lord. And in that truth, when we become really in awe of who God is, how far and how holy and how separate He is from us, we can't help but see how small we are, not in insignificance, but just in how significant He is. And so I think in humility, we just recognize that we are created. We are not, you know, created, or we are not the ones creating. God is.
That is so true.
Yeah. And, but yeah, I guess that's what I would say about humility.
Okay. What about you with pride, Ed?
Yeah. Do you want me to cover pride, or do you want me to hit false?
Why don't you discuss both of them?
Mm-hmm, sure. I always want to refer back to scripture whenever I can. But I guess pride, we could hit this at the same time, pride and false humility. I think the Pharisees scripturally were that in every sense of the word. There was tremendous pride, but there was also false humility, you know. And I'm thinking of, you know, where scripture tells us, and I'm not recalling the verse, but scripture talks about, you know, people whose prayers are very poetic, or who, you know, who would go and do things simply to be seen. You know, that was the Pharisees.
They shake the, you know, the coins in front of the donation plate or something.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I love when Jesus in Matthew 23. I was just quickly flipping to it, but chapter 23, verse 25. Verse 27, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, with outwardly appearing beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and uncleanness." And then he goes on to say, "So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." And you know, I think, and no one's going to say it better than Jesus, but I mean, that's basically what it is. You know, we oftentimes speak wonderful things, but our heart represents something quite different. And we become the whitewashed tombs in every sense of the word when we're too proud and we're falsely humble.
Whitewashed instead of washed white.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Ed, to you today, a lot of ministers, and you're raising up to be a minister, you're raising up to be a pastor. And Corey, you can speak to this if you want. How do you see the church, let's just get to the point, we're at the end times, we're at the last days, how do you see the church progressing, and do you see that God is, what do you see God doing with the church here and now, and especially in the lives of ministers, and what do you have to bring to the table, or what do you have to be open to at this season in your lives so that God can use you as the ministers He's called you to be in reaching the church as He is getting ready to come for the church? We don't know how much longer, but we know He is coming for the church. Maybe one of you guys could talk on that.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. I guess one thing I would say is, and this could lead us into our discipleship component of our missional community.
That's what I want to kind of hit on.
Yeah, absolutely. So firstly, I'll say, you know, God has a perfect timing. We don't know what that is, but woe to us who don't believe that it's any second now, because it absolutely could be. You know, Corey and I were just sitting together on Sunday the other day, and we were talking about these missionaries who are flying into these regions, you know, to help people through the Ebola crisis, and I remember leaning over to Corey and I'm saying, you know, man, it's when every ear has heard the name of Jesus that He's coming, and I said, and look at how technology is doing that right now, right before our eyes. And Curtis, I would argue that's us right now, you know, over the airwaves, you know, reaching many ears. This is how
I agree.
This is how God is moving now. He's using us and our ability as human beings to create things that move His word. And even though people, you know, whoever invented all these systems may not intentionally have moved the word, God is using that to move His word. And so I see technology as being a huge part of those end times, and that His kingdom is expanding exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And
it seems like not here in America as of yet. I think America's about to experience a major revival. So
mm-hmm. It's interesting. We talked to some missionaries from Madagascar who go to our church, and they were making the point that, you know, people are sending missionaries to the United States now. It used to be that missionaries came from the United States and they went out into the world. Now the world's sending missionaries to us, which is very sad and disheartening as an American, but at the same time, you know, we welcome it because we know that America is a mission field. Our neighborhoods are mission mm-hmm. fields. And so that brings us into this discipleship piece about our yeah, missional
communities.
Let's
go ahead and hit on that. Take some time to talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. And I'd like Corey to just interject wherever you like, Corey. Mm-hmm. But, what we developed, what I was tasked with, actually one of the first tasks I had when I came to Grace was to develop a discipleship model develop a discipleship. Corey's fixing my microphone. Thanks, Corey. develop a discipleship model that represented something we already had in place with our women's groups. For a while, we were using something called Triads, which came out of Ogden's Discipleship Essentials, and it was feeling a little bit stale and like it needed a new facelift. And so I, being the Missional Communities Associate and working with the Missional Communities Pastor, we agreed, you know, we've got something that's just pouring out of our Missional Communities. If that's where our church is headed, if that's what we're doing to move the gospel, then that there needs to be some kind of outpouring from the Missional Communities into discipleship, which is the natural place. So I came up with this thing called Brother to Brother, and what it is a men's discipleship group for the men in our missional communities or other men who are were seeking to hear more about God's word. And these groups really are gathering for the sake of disciples making disciples in its simplest form. It's really where encouragement and accountability meet to produce disciples of Jesus. So what we do is we come and we're real with each other and we're transparent, and we're taking the things in our lives, good, bad, or otherwise, and we're holding them up to the lens of God's word and God's truth. And this is where the accountability comes in and where the growth really begins to happen. And what we believe we're doing is encouraging men to not only grow in God's word and grow in their understanding and becoming more like Christ, which is the most important thing we're all supposed to become, but what it does is it empowers them to be sent. It empowers them to believe that I can replicate myself in somebody else, just like people have replicated themselves themselves into me. I'm now carrying that message to others, and so it's that multiplication aspect of discipleship that we're after. And Corey, go ahead.
You're going to share the story, weren't you?
No. You go for it.
Well, yeah. I think even to go back to your question about, you know, thinking about the end times and just the current state of the world. I think, you know, I'm just reminded of Jesus' command of the Great Commission and the hope that we have, knowing that we don't know when that time's going to be. All we know is what God has challenged us to do and to be. And so, you know, rather than Matthew 28, you know, Jesus says, you know, go therefore make disciples. You know, after he says, you know, all authority in heaven's been given to me, now I'm saying go. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and I think that's what we're challenged with as mm-hmm. as missional community members, as missional community leaders, as disciple makers, that we are asked to go. Mm-hmm. That it's not a click thing. It's not a cool, we've got a fun group, let's hang out and let's just keep on doing this. It's we need to multiply. Mm-hmm. We need to model what it means to be Jesus. And Jesus invested in 12, and then he sent them. Mm-hmm. And I think in Brother to Brother, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to lift high the name of Jesus in such a way that people rise out of that identity and find themselves capable and have an opportunity to be Jesus and to lead disciples themselves. And And I think one of the greatest promises Jesus says to us is he says in verse 20, and I am with you always to the end of the age, that Jesus goes before us, that there is a tremendous amount of hope knowing that the creator of the universe goes before us. And the amount of hope that that brings and knowing, and I think this is what I've learned as a leader, is that it's very hard when you put that burden on yourself. You know, when you look to the results and you are dissatisfied and not seeing the multiplication, or you're not seeing someone come to the saving knowledge of Christ in their life, and it's when you're free to let that go, it's freedom, really. It gives you a great opportunity to just share the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I want to point out too, Curtis, is you found us through this group. And so what's really cool is that this has two purposes. You know, we're very intentional about what we do in meeting with in public places. And, you know, if what we were sitting there at that table that night talking about was sweet to your ears, you know, how sweet is it to the ears of somebody who's lost and who's seeking something different and who's looking for the God that they don't yet know? And so part of our work here in discipleship and lifting each other up and raising each other up to become more like Christ is also the invitation to know him. And so we meet in public places very intentionally so that we can draw people to his name to make him known.
I'm looking at my microphone over here, and I'm thinking I may not be on the air. Anyways, it's about making Christ known in these last days, because if he's not, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's not about us, it's about the Lord. And he said, if he be lifted up. So who wants to talk about lifting up God? Who wants to talk about when it says, if God, Christ be lifted up, he draw all men? Who wants to kind of go into that?
I'll hit on that. Yeah, I think we've hit on a couple topics that, you know, outline exactly that answer. I mean, you talk about love. You talk about humility. You know, I mean, I think those really are at the, you know, the focus of what it means to have the glory be God's alone, you know, and what you're saying, you know, we live for an audience of one, that our identity is not found in the people and the things that we own. It's really found in our creator, in the one who's made us. I mean, that's where our identity is found. And I think, you know, if we were to strip all of the things in life away, the one thing that we were created to do is bring glory to our creator. You know, I think of anything that's made, the thing that's made really brings emphasis to the creator. And, you know, the beauty of the world, the beauty of creation, the heaven, it says in Psalms, the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, and we have opportunity every night to go outside and look up in the stars and say, you know what? Gosh, God, you're so amazing. And, you know, I look at my friend here, Ed, and I think, God, you're so amazing. You know, and I think that's just because I have the spirit that's working inside of me, having given me the opportunity to see God in everything, to see God in creation, to see God in my relationships, to see God in the things that I'm doing, the things I'm fulfilling. And I think,
Yeah, and you can't do that in a vacuum. You can't, you know, we were, in Genesis 2:18, God says, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. And in context, God is saying, I'm going to provide you a helper, and it's going to be a woman, and she's going to be your wife. And that all makes total sense, but we're talking about a communal God. We're talking about a God of relationships. And so that's really what that verse speaks to me, is that he means for us to not only be in relationship with him, but be in relationship with each other.
And, that is so true. And, relationship is where it's at.
Yeah, it's where it all starts. And honestly, you can't disciple people without cultivating relationships. It doesn't work to try to speak into someone's life to someone who doesn't really even know you or trust you.
That's what I want to hit on, because we're all talking about going out and trying to reach as many people, but it's the difference between going out and trying to proselyte or trying to prospect people into the kingdom versus building a relationship with them. And if we focus on, we got to do it today, we got to do it today, one of the things I struggle with is relationships, and I'm working on that, but I think that a relationship takes time. And so I think looking for somebody you can reach, like I'm in the network marketing business. I'm in multi-level companies. And one of the things you do is you don't just go out and pressure them to join. You got to get to know them, them to get to know you, them to like you, them to trust you. And then, hey, you want to make some extra income. Yeah. With us, it's, do you want to know the God that I know? Do you want to serve the God that I serve?
Yeah.
And a lot of times people say, I look at your life, and you know, that's where grace comes in. You may see areas in my life, but God knows my heart. And I'm, with his help, trying to be the man I can be to try to reach you. And, you know, I really feel like relationships where it's about. We could talk about, like I said to Ed earlier, we could talk about the body, we could talk about the bride, we could talk about the church. We are the church. Christ is coming back for a bride, and Christ is the head of the body. So however you want to look at it, but he is using his people, but he wants more than us to be used. He wants relationship. He wants us to be able to identify with him and us to have that intimacy with him. You know, you both are married. I'm single. But the Holy Spirit would be my helper. He would be my guide. He would be my strength. And a lot of times I don't take the time to really focus on him or seek him or look to him. And I think we as one another need to be here to help one another to do that. Accountability, I agree with it, as long as we're not looking as the accountability person to be God, but to be someone that God is using in us to help encourage us and strengthen us in our walk. You look at Paul and Barnabas, you look at different people in the Bible, God used them to help build one another up in the faith. And that's what we're called to do, right, gentlemen?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah, and I want to go out and point out that, you know, Jesus' program was 12 men, 3 years.
Exactly.
That is not, it's like Jesus didn't figure out a way to punch out old Jesus widgets, right? Christian widgets. It was 12 men for 3 years, and it was oftentimes what we call along the road. His ministry was in the dirt. It was, you know, it was living life together, life on life relationships. And so there is no simple process. There is really only the working in relationships. And I want to pull out a quote from Rick Warren. He made mention of this. He said, "Curriculum is easy. Life on life relational discipleship is difficult, slow, and frustrating, and in the end, the only way to make disciples."
That's true. Well, I'd say that the only way to make disciples is through the love of Christ being demonstrated through us, and we do need that relationship, because sometimes we can't see what God is doing in us, you know. And one of the things I like about the brother-to-brother group is that you guys help encourage one another in the faith, and that's what the Bible said, to encourage one another in the faith. You guys aren't afraid to call somebody on something, but you do it in love.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Can you explain how you have noticed the difference between people being corrected in love and people just being corrected?
Yeah, I mean, as Ed was sharing about stirring one another up, you know, I'm reminded of spurring. You know, that there is this, it can be gentle, it can be hard, but, you know, Hebrews 10:24 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." And so I think, you know, going back to brother, and not to sidestep your question, but I think there is the challenge to keep meeting together, and that relationships happen. You can't expect someone to listen to you unless there's a sense of trust. And that's what you had mentioned earlier, is that, you know, when we begin to open up to people and we begin to allow people to see us and we become transparent, authentic, and I'll be honest, that is not easy to do with someone that you've just met. And
no. you want to run from instead of run to, because you don't want to face, you fear what people would think of you. But I'm sorry, Corey,
no.
Go ahead.
No, it's okay. And I think in the missional community, if everyone is grounded on their identity, there is freedom to speak openly and to know that it's not really, I'm not condemning you, I'm not judging you. I'm trying to love you and to be your brother and to spur you and to challenge you and to not let you settle into the lull of, you know what, I'm good. You know, we should be challenging one another. And I think if you are willing to open yourself up to allow someone to speak into your life, you'll be amazed at the things people will say, because honestly, we become blind to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we need that from someone else. We need to have, I mean, you know, we were meant for relationship. We were meant for people to live out this life together and to do it in the midst of community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, the challenge is how do you make more time? You know, as we were talking about missional community, I think the challenge is it's not just another thing. It's not just another thing you have to fit into your schedule. You have to be strategic. You have to be intentional,
yeah,
and really make sure that what you're doing is not just another thing. It's a part
true.
Of you.
So, that's true. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Corey hit on the word love a few times. Good job, Corey. That's the most important part. it's what we're called to be. And I think that love begins when you're open and real about yourself. Because our guys, I mean, I'll be honest, I think our guys in many ways see us in that father figure, or that you know, they see us as rabbi, lowercase r, not the uppercase r rabbi, but, you know, teachers.
Teacher.
And so we try to walk with confident humility in that, you know, remaining confident but always humble, and knowing that we do speak probably into their lives maybe a lot more than they do in some cases, but nonetheless we are completely transparent and open about our own weaknesses, and they often speak into our lives more than they realize, and that's the other thing, pointing that out to them, you know. And when you operate that way, these guys begin to really, I think, relate to you well, and that love comes naturally. And I'll jump into a verse too. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, and it's chapter 2, verse 8. He says, "So we cared for you because we loved you so much. We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." So it isn't just about
truth,
and constantly clunking people over the head with truth. It's literally sharing your lives. So this
thank you for that, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. This is us. You know, they know if you need to move a couch, we're the first guys you're gonna call.
Awesome.
You know, so that's how you cultivate relationship and love, and then mature discipleship.
That is also known as a heart of service, correct?
Yeah, absolutely, mm-hmm. Servant's mm-hmm. heart.
Well, you know, we're getting close to the end of time. Not the end of time, as we know it.
Well, hopefully.
But we're getting close to. Well, hopefully we have a little bit more time.
There's come on,
more
people, Jesus.
There's more people to come to the Lord,
yeah.
I hope and pray.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
I don't
want
to see us go before we get more people saved.
Yep.
It's all up to God. But I'm going to ask Corey if there's anything else you want to say, or if you pretty much have said, if there's anything else, and if not, if you'll close us out in prayer.
I think I've said enough.
Yeah, I've said way too much.
I know.
No, yeah, but you guys have answered the questions. I hope I haven't asked a lot of questions.
No, it's been good. It's been fun, Curtis. We thank you for your
time.
Well,
I want to have you guys back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
okay.
Well.
We're going to pray on there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Father God, we just are so amazed by you and amazed at how you work. And when we see how you work, God, it just fills us with tremendous hope. And I'm just thankful for this opportunity we had to talk about you and to let you be lifted high. Lord, I'm thinking of a banner and just Jesus flying high, and that everyone has opportunity to see you and to really pursue you. And so, God, I just thank you for those listeners out there who are trying to find out who you are and to search search the world, search the different facets of their life, in their relationships, God. I just pray that you would continue to work in those people's lives, continue to work in our lives, God, as we're called to reach the lost and to be the light. And so, God, we just thank you for what you're doing in our community, in our church, in the area of Chico and beyond. Lord, I just pray that your will would be accomplished through your followers. And, Lord, we just thank you and pray this in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Well, listeners, I'm glad you turned in today to Christ Today. Remember, it's every Saturday from 11 to 12, and we look forward to talking to you again. And if you have anything you want to talk to us about, feel free to give us a call at 894-7325. Or, gentlemen, if they want to call you and know more a little bit about your ministry or about your brother-to-brother group, would you, one of you, throw out a phone number they can call and that they could talk to one of you guys?
So, to reach any one of us, Ed, myself, or anyone on staff at Grace, the phone number is 530-343-5528.
All right, you guys have a great day, and God bless.
Thank you.
God bless.